Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Mark Williams, who's visiting Australia from Wales. Mark is an author, a blogger, a trainer, a public speaker, having spent 12 years in sales management and trainer roles. He's the founder of Fathers Reaching Out and co-founder of the charity Dads Matter in the UK. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hey, how are things?
Mark, speaking dad to dad, can you tell us what it was really like for you to have your first child with your wife, Michelle?
Yeah, everything was planned. You know, we had good jobs, house, I was 30 years of age. But the pregnancy went well, it was fine. But actually, when it went into the labour ward, that's when everything turned for the worse. And I remember after 22 hours, professionals came in and rushed in and they said, Mr. Williams, your wife's got an emergency C-section. And it was instantly, it was the first time I actually ever had a panic attack, because I honestly thought my wife was going to die and also my son, my baby. So yeah, it was a really traumatic time for me in the labour ward.
So it wasn't what people think of typically as a joyful time when you have your first child.
No, absolutely not for me, it weren't. And obviously from that time, my wife went on the ward, and in the next week, she was diagnosed with severe postnatal depression. So instantly I had to give up work, had to look after my wife who was severely ill. I didn't know nothing about mental illness. So obviously I was having thoughts, you know, is it because of me that she's ill? And obviously didn't know nothing about postnatal depression at the time. And then eventually, it was affecting my own mental health as well. And so, obviously, money worries are coming in. I had a new mortgage, look after my wife, all in a short space of time. And eventually, yeah, I was having suicidal thoughts around about 4 to 5 months into the after my son was born.
Yes, in some ways, it might be even worse for fathers, because the mother is being looked after when she's got postnatal depression. Well, there are a lot of facilities now for women that suffer from this, but the man is expected to carry on. You've still got to pay the bills. You might have to have the job of notifying people about the difficulties you're having. Is that an extra pressure for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I'm trying to campaign for is, you know, like I said, I feel it should be more family, you know, a family centered support network, because like a lot of fathers I spoke to, including myself, you know, going through that that time in my life, you know, obviously my coping skills was drinking. You know, my personality changed in the first 12 months, and yeah, it just needs more support for the whole family as well as, and especially, you know, the father too.
Mm. And is it fairly common that fathers have this experience, that they have this bad reaction?
Yeah, well, birth trauma is really under researched. I'm trying to make awareness of birth trauma, because obviously witnessing somebody you love going through the trauma, you know, that's got an effect. And obviously a lot of fathers, including myself, you know, have had flashbacks, nightmares, you know, obviously thinking the baby has died. And like we know of a post-traumatic stress disorder in the guys in the army, but, you know, it's your loved one. You know, some of the stories I've heard of fathers, you know, it's even affected them from, you know, even going into the ward a second time. You know, the smell of our labour ward can actually trigger off trauma as well. You know, it needs more research. And I think, as we know, Bill, you know, the amount of suicides amongst men around this time, you know, men are fathers who, like myself, didn't have any mental illness before it got to that point, before I was actually depressed in the postnatal period. And that's what I mean, is a lot of fathers who actually suffer from postnatal depression, but actually because they suffer in silence for so long, it actually, they get diagnosed with depression after the postnatal period.
So this really is a message that has to get out there, because I don't think most people would acknowledge that men do suffer from postnatal depression.
That's it. And you don't have to give birth to actually have postnatal depression. It's not about that. It's actually the way you're thinking. You know, a lot of fathers think like a mother. Am I going to be a good father? You know, there's fathers who are suffering from maternal OCD. There's fathers who've got a history of depression or mental illness before they become a father. So when they're going to looking after their partners with postnatal depression on top of that, and then they're going to give up work and money worries and house, a massive, massive, you know, things to cope with. And like I said, it's, you know, it's, you know, I was 30 years of age. You know, you're talking a lot of young dads, you know, 18, 17. We look at the symptoms and the behaviour. Sometimes we've got to look at the real root of the cause. Why are they actually feeling it?
And perhaps it needs a different attitude. I can imagine if men started talking about postnatal depression, the first reaction might even be to laugh at them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But, and that's what they were doing 5 years ago. And now, actually speaking in Melbourne, Marseille conference, the big topic was about fathers yesterday and obviously and the day before, and even actually talking to today. So it is starting to come to the forefront. I think we're 20 years behind like mothers were, because there was research that says 1 in 10 mothers actually suffer from postnatal depression. We know it's actually more now. Sorry, the figures are around about 1 in 7, especially in the UK, they probably say. But we know now it's 1 in 10 fathers actually suffer from postnatal depression. That's research, but I feel that is actually a lot more fathers, because a lot of fathers suffer in silence and go, you know, turn to drink and drugs, in my own experience talking to fathers over the last 5 years.
For women now, it is very much accepted, and even in the law, I mean, if it goes to the extreme case where a woman kills her own child in the first 12 months, at least in Australia, it's not classified as murder. It's given a new name. It's called infanticide, and the women are usually given a suspended sentence rather than treated as a murderer.
Yeah.
So I presume it's the same in the UK, but that's a big difference. For men get nothing, and women are very much recognised as having this depression.
Absolutely. Like I said, the way I try and explain it simply is, if there was no pregnancy, there'd be no depression in our first 12 months, and there could be loads of factors why these lot of fathers, like including myself, suffered in the postnatal, you know, period. So it could be, like I said, looking after the partner. You know, am I going to be a good father? You know, there's a lot of fathers who, as you know, with mental illness, it's a big stigma anyway. But can imagine a father actually coming out saying, you know, I've got postnatal depression, you know, as well. So it's a really under-researched, and also that's one of the reasons I've actually campaigned is actually say, look, I would have been diagnosed with postnatal depression, but I was actually diagnosed in 5 years later, actually when I had a breakdown. And I was told by professionals I would have been classed as postnatally depressed.
You are concentrating on an area which you call perinatal. Is that a certain period? Like, is this even before the birth that men might become depressed?
Yeah, perinatal is very much postnatal depression has always been and baby blues, but we talk about the antenatal period, so as well as baby blues, as well as postnatal, and also peripheral psychosis. That's when obviously the mother is actually hallucinating, and you know, and the most severe form. But like the father actually suffers from antenatal depression, because you can imagine going into a labour ward. Like, I've only got one child. The thought of myself going back into that labour ward and the fear of actually seeing what I've witnessed, and also my wife and the baby. Then obviously, you know, it's like telling somebody to actually, okay, you haven't dealt with that trauma, now go back into it. Now, these fathers got to wait 9 months then, just thinking, is it going to happen to me again? Is my wife going to have postnatal depression? So the thought process changes then, obviously, then. And also then, you know, it affects everything. It affects the whole family. Sometimes a lot of families are breaking up because of the illness. There's, obviously, you know, we can go on about talking about the bonding, attachment to the child. You know, there's loads of factors. Early prevention, and that includes the father, I must stress that. It's got to be a more family approach, more than just concentrating on the mother and baby. You know, at the end of the day, I've talked to fathers where, and mothers, sorry, that the mother have actually said, I'm well, I'm fine, but he's struggling, and I've got to look after the father. I've got to look after him. So that's got an impact then on the family. So we've got to be more family orientated rather than just the mother and baby.
And we're speaking today with Mark Williams, who is an author, a trainer, a public speaker, and he's visiting Australia to address a conference in Melbourne. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song by Jimmy Cliff called I Can See Clearly Now.
with Dads on the Air.
And that was I Can See Clearly Now by Jimmy Cliff, which I hope is the situation for dads as a result of Mark Williams' visit to Australia. So, Mark, we were just talking about the perinatal period for how it might affect dads. Was your son a particularly difficult child after he was born?
No, I was lucky. He was fantastic. That's one thing, I think, because I stayed at home. Obviously, I bonded and with my son closer, and I think he gave me a lot more focus. But, yeah, it was nothing. It was just a case of I was really worried. I couldn't tell my wife how I was feeling as well, because I didn't want to affect her own mental health as well. But unfortunately, what happens is, this is the other thing, is that when I became unwell in 2011, my wife's depression actually came back the second time round there. So because now she was looking after me, it's just such an area where, you know, it just needs awareness. And it's great that I'm talking to Bill about, especially about the father side of it, because it's, like I said, it's so under research, and the more awareness especially needs to be made.
Now, you've been very open about your own situation. Do you think there were any special factors for you personally that might have contributed to your depression?
I think I was actually later on diagnosed with ADHD, so you know, a condition which I've had all my life, diagnosed as 40 when I actually went through having a breakdown. I think more awareness perhaps on perinatal mental health, postnatal depression, you know, it needs to be more, you know, if it is, you know, I didn't know, if I'm honest, I didn't know I was really actually going through depression. Even when I thought, you know, one day, I didn't make a plan to kill myself, but it was a case of when a bus actually came down the side of me, I wanted to jump in front of it to stop the agonizing thoughts. Even then, I should have gone to GP to get help, but I didn't. I still suffered in silence. So I think, like I said, education is a key, and I think it should be, you know, it's got to come into schools, you know, mental health especially. But, you know, yeah, it's early prevention and education needs to be brought to everyone, really.
Yes, well, thank goodness you didn't take that extreme measure. But what did you do about it when you finally acknowledged that you were suffering from depression?
Yeah, well, after my wife obviously got better, then obviously I went back, tried to get back into work, changing careers and things. But after the breakdown, I actually went to the GP and I was put on medication and counselling. I learned about CBT and mindfulness and really positive coping skills rather than, you know, than drink to black it out. And then eventually then I met a gentleman in a gym, and I was talking to him side by side because I think my own experience, father's talked better side by side. And he said, you know, can I bother weights? So I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to NHS Prams. And I found out there was the same nurse that actually helped me and my family, and she set up an organisation for women with postnatal depression. But unfortunately for Brian, he actually, he was looking after his wife, and he lost his house, he lost his business, he lost everything because depression kicked into him then. And unfortunately, you know, Brian is actually still in services in his 50s now after losing everything. But what I'm saying was that it was that point that I went on to set up Fathers Reaching Out, because I couldn't believe there was nothing for fathers. There was one enough for women in the UK, and it's a lot better now. But then it was nothing, nobody was talking about it. From my experience, I share my story, and it's just gone on, and, you know, been on radio stations, television, and it's changed my own career, really. And I'm just even speaking to yourself, you know, it's given me sort of a purpose as well. I don't care what anyone really thinks, because I've had negative people, you know, and educated people, especially with postnatal depression in men in the early days. But people are starting to think, you know, this needs to be taken serious.
So you've mentioned Fathers Reaching Out, which you started. What does it do? I think, do you speak at, perhaps, do you even speak in prisons?
Yeah, I've done a bit of everything, really. But I think what happens with Fathers Reaching Out, I'm setting up a new organisation for enough. There was reasons why, unfortunately, due to funding, and I couldn't pursue what I wanted to do. I'm setting up a new organisation called Dad's Mental Health UK. So we're trying to tackle everything about not just perinatal mental health, you know, fathers who got bipolar, schizophrenia, you know, clinical depression, you know, they need to be. And also, believe it or not, in the UK, there's nothing that mentions the word fathers on the NICE guidelines. So if the nice guidelines are like guidelines for support, and so they've got the mother on it, but unfortunately, if a father's struggling, there's nothing, it only says partner, so I'm hoping to change that, and more health visitors and professionals actually take the father serious then as well, you know. So it's not things we're doing mostly campaigning now, I am, but I also set up International Father's Mental Health Day, which is the day after Father's Day, because I wanted for one day of the year to actually say, look, you know, bring everyone together and talk about father's mental health, because I think it's really an important subject. I think Prince William have just come out a couple of months ago saying about father's mental health as well. So, you know, it is coming, but it's we're still far way off yet.
We need to get that word out. And perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I've just done a talk at the Marseille conference, which is a big conference with a lot of professors and doctors. And I'm not academic, but I've actually been supported by a lot of academics now. And then after Melbourne, actually, I'm going to New Zealand and Auckland and then to Seattle. So it's a self-funded trip I've done, really, but with the support of my wife. But I felt that I think Australia, Australia is further, actually, than the UK when it comes to father's mental health. So it was really good catching up with a lot of people from Australia yesterday. It was really, really inspiring seeing what stuff is going on here as well.
And you're speaking, you're presenting a paper, are you?
Yeah, I did it yesterday. It was on Tuesday. It was father's and perinatal mental health, and it just went really well. You know, I got good feedback, and I think lived experience is very powerful. But also, I brought about explaining what all the fathers I've spoken to over the last 5 years. You know, it must be nearly 1,000 fathers via Facebook or support groups or phone calls. And I found that a lot of knowledge of fathers I've actually opened up to myself, because I think they trusted me. I think they trusted that. Oh, well, you understand, because unfortunately a lot of fathers are suffering in silence, and you know they don't know where to turn. And it was such a good event, yes. And I'll be honest, there's some really, really good stuff happening in Australia.
Well, that's good to hear. Going back to the UK, you started Dad's Matter UK. That was with your friend Chris Bingley, I think, and he had a terrible story of his own, didn't he?
Chris actually lost his wife through postnatal depression. Obviously, that had a massive impact. Unfortunately, me and Chris have gone our separate ways now. He's gone on to different area perinatal mental health. And I've gone on to do more campaigning, more policy changing. Even though I love the ground root stuff, you know, talking to fathers, but a lot of fathers I was trying to you know, tell them to speak out. But unfortunately, some fathers, you know, they want to speak out, but then they worry about the stigma around mental health for their partner. I'm just been trying to campaign mostly now, and trying to change policies and to say there is a father and he should be supported as well.
Maybe there might be some advice you can give in advance. I seem to remember before I was married, I was told that life changes when you marry, but it really changes when you have a child.
Absolutely.
So maybe if Dad's got to realise that this is going to happen and it won't be such a surprise, and maybe they won't get that big reaction and the depression that sometimes follows.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, every father is totally different, and they go through a birth and everything's fine. But what I will say is, if you are struggling, trauma can happen in any form. The smallest, even communication. There was one father, actually, when his wife was getting rushed down for emergency C-section, the midwife actually said, say goodbye to your wife. So instantly his thought process thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my wife. So he was having a panic attack, and then his wife was actually having a panic because she could see him. Trying to educate yourself more, you know, and, you know, think that if you are struggling inside, you know, just seek the help. The earlier you get the help, the quicker the recovery.
And in Australia, for anyone that is affected by these issues, you can always go to Lifeline or Men's Line. There are a number of services available. And we're speaking with Mark Williams, who is an author and a trainer and a founder of a number of charities helping dads. We get to this part of the show and I ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
My song is My Way by Frank Sinatra. I think it's a sort of song I always sing on karaoke. The sort of song I used to hear growing up, and I think the lyrics are so powerful as well. So yeah, Frank Sinatra, really, My Way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was dark, my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my
was My Way by Frank Sinatra. A very powerful way to end this show. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to the show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And it just remains for me now to give a very special thank you to our guest, Mark Williams. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Thank you.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.